All right. Proverbs 27 and Psalm 84. Stand with us if you would. Let's get right into this. On tomorrow, I'll be speaking in the morning at 10 o'clock. Pray for us at the Forever Us Marriage Conference. And we've got a session we're going to do with the men, and we're looking forward to that. And so pray for us at 10 o'clock. And then at 2 o'clock tomorrow in the afternoon, I'll be speaking again the first session in the Next Steps part of the conference. And that's for all the wannabe marrieds and looking to be marrieds and looking for and hoping for and wishing for. And we'll be speaking to them. What I want to give to you tonight is what I'm going to be speaking on tomorrow. Brother Poindexter asked us to preach along the line of growing up in the church. And of course, that's been my life. 44 years old, and all I've ever known is church. All I've ever known is independent, fundamental, King James Bible thumping, sin stomping, devil hating. Amen. All the different acronyms we could bring up and titles we put on what we are. That is how I've been raised. What the kind of church I'm pastoring is the kind of church I've always known all my life. Now, there's an element in our religious circles that they had the same privilege I had, and they've grown up in it, and they have turned their back on it, and now they've not only turned their back on it, they criticize it, they run it down. And some of them claim they got saved in this kind of church. And I will be the first to say and agree with them. I've never been a part of a perfect church. The independent fundamental Baptists are not perfect. And there are a lot of flaws. There are a lot of things that I think can be picked apart. There's a lot of things that have needed changing throughout just different ways. I think maybe we've got off base. But I do believe with all my heart, I owe what I am tonight. I understand it's all the grace of God. I understand that. And I give God and His grace first and foremost glory, all the glory for what has been done in my life. But He has used independent fundamental Baptist churches preaching the King James Bible. Amen. Amen. The King James Bible to mold my life and to shape my life and to point me to Christ and show me a way in which I should live. And I am confident that it's been right. I'm confident that that has been for my benefit. I have no qualms about saying I feel like that has been a great, great blessing to my spiritual life. And so that's what we've been asked to speak on. And we understand that when you go to the Word of God, you're not going to find something about growing up in an independent, fundamental Baptist church, all right? And we understand that. But I have found some things that I think will drive the point home, and I want to deliver that. I'm not just preaching to our young people. I am preaching to you young people. But I believe what I have for us tonight will be relevant to all of us as we are a part of an independent fundamental Baptist church, and try to encourage us in what that means and staying after it, not turning our back on it, not wandering from it, not forsaking it, and putting the right kind of value on what we are tonight. All right? Does that make sense? All right. Now, let's look at it from the Word of God. Look with me in Psalm 84. If you're there, say amen. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Verse 2, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. There's that old Hebrew terminology, Selah. Pause, think on this, meditate on this, and think about what has just been said. I draw your attention to the picture that David paints in verse number 3. The sparrow had found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself. And he describes this place of the nest is literally in the tabernacle. It's in the house of God where she builds her nest. And not just on the outskirts, Brother Tim, but on the innermost part of that thing, near the altars of God. And so keep in mind this matter of a nest, a bird in a nest, a bird in a nest around the house of God, around the presence of the Lord. Now look with me in Proverbs 27 and in verse number 8. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Do you see a little connection there already? As a bird wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. And so we want to deal with this. I don't really know, have the title, I guess, even yet. I guess if I was to have to put one on it here right now, we're speaking on the thought of stay in the nest. All right? Stay in the nest. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight, and we sure are thankful for all your goodness and all your blessing. Most of all, the blessing and the unspeakable gift the Bible tells us about, the gift you gave when you gave your son. Lord, we know tonight we're nothing without him. We're nothing without your grace. And Lord, we give you the glory for saving us. And Lord, the glory for growing our lives. And grace that we found to be sufficient for every need along the way. Now, Lord, we pray you'd help us as we try to communicate some of these thoughts. And Lord, I know, Lord, tomorrow to not necessarily be preaching. Lord, we'll be talking and speaking and teaching, Lord, to these young people. But Lord, I pray for a little while tonight, Lord, you'd let us communicate these things to our own young people and Lord, the own members of our church. And Lord, may we all understand we need to stay in the nest. Lord, we don't need to wander. We don't need to be looking, Lord, over the edge. Lord, there ain't nothing in this world, and there's nothing, Lord, on the edge of religion, Lord, that would satisfy us, Lord, like real Bible salvation, living for God, selling out, being everything that you've saved us to be. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do tonight and tomorrow. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We understand, I don't know if you remember this, it's been a while ago, but maybe you got some notes in the margin of your Bible, or maybe it's in your mind, but you remember when we dealt with Psalm 84, that David wrote this and he delivered it to as a psalm for the sons of Korah. Korah the rebel, we know his story, how he rose up against God and God's plan and God's man and stepped outside of the will of God. He was a man full of hypocrisy, a man that did not live up to the place that God had put him in. And God dealt with him and many of his friends and family according to their rebellion. But this we know, there were some sons of Korah that day of Korah's rebellion that stayed true to God. And they stayed faithful to their position. They stayed faithful to what the calling of God was upon their life. David writing this psalm, he writes it for those very ones that are of the lineage of such a rebel yet had stayed faithful to God. And if anybody can sing, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts," it is those that chose God over family and chose to go with the Lord over some form of false religion and hypocrisy and remain true to the Lord and to his house and have experienced the mercy and the grace of God. And so they are those that love the tabernacle in verse number 1. They are those that long for the tabernacle of God in their soul. They are drawn to that, to the very courts of the Lord. Their heart, David writes, for them alone to sing. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. I just want God. I just want to know God as I've been introduced to God, as I've been taught of God, as I have had The Lord in His presence communicated to my life around the house of God. So we are crying out for that, to know that and to live in that. And then that is the point of verse number 3, that they're living in the house of God. That they're not looking for a way out. They're not looking for a relief of some sort of bondage. Their flesh maybe feels that they're bound to. But as a sparrow, as a swallow, has built a nest in the house of God, and there at the very altars, around all the sacrifice, around all of that representation of the seriousness of sin, that reminder of the way and the steps that a child of God is to live in approaching the Lord and in worshiping the Lord and to be faithful in praising God for all His mercy upon our life. All of this is found in that picture that is painted of the bird that has built its nest in the house of God. And so there we find that this bird, the context of this verse and the reminders, we think about a bird and a nest. We understand that that a bird, it needs a nest. It needs a place to put its nest. That nest represents, it represents for the bird shelter. It represents for the bird safety. It represents for the bird, that bird, particularly a swallow or a sparrow, and many other different kinds of birds, that nest represents their very survival. And that nest and where it is placed, it can't be put anywhere. It must be lodged in a place that will enable them to survive the storms that are going to come, to be a shelter from the storm, to be a safety from the predators, to be the very survival of themselves, and not only themselves, but of those that come after them. I can't think of any better place, any more sheltering place, any more safe place, any more place that would be convenient and conducive to the survival of this sparrow and this swallow, that are representation of the very sons of Korah, who really are representation of you and I tonight. There would be no more sheltering, safe, surviving place that we could nest our lives in than that of the house of God. And so we draw the connection here that this nest has been built around the altar of the house of God. This sparrow is drawn there. There's something about that. Then she feels safe and sheltered and feels like the survival of herself and of her young can be lived out there in the courts and in the house and around the altars of God. And so I want to say tonight, that has been the testimony of my life. My life has been built around, even before I knew God and was saved. I'm thankful tonight for the heritage that I have and the hope that I've been given from even a little baby boy born in the Ledbetter family. The heritage and the hope that I've been given in building my life, being reared up, raised up, and refuged around the very house of God. Amen. I found a nest for my soul. I found a nest for my spiritual life. I found a nest to raise my own children up here. And the day will come, they'll have to see all these things for themselves. But I'm glad tonight that I can look back and see that my life has a nest in which I have found the rest and refuge I need around independent, fundamental Baptist churches. Amen. I've had a front row seat, amen, to seeing the presence of God move. I've been able to see it up close and personal. Even before my own conversion at the age of 17, to see, yes, a lot of hypocrisy, and yes, a lot of people that didn't mean it, and some people that were just religious people going through the motions, but On the other hand, I've gotten to see God's people worship in reality. I've gotten to watch their relationship with God in a real and an up-close personal way. To be able to say that this thing, it can be real to you. If you want it to be real to you, it can be real to you. And so we've had that privilege. And tonight, everybody here, maybe that wasn't your upbringing, but you have that opportunity tonight. As your life has found a nest and a rest around and in the altar and the house of God. Now go to Proverbs 27. This is a sad verse. And let me read you a portion. I won't read it all. Of what Matthew Henry said concerning this verse that Solomon gives by way of a proverb. As a bird wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. A man that has found a place of refuge. A man that has found shelter and safety and a place to survive. That would leave all of that. He paints a picture again of a bird in a nest and a bird wandering from that nest. And here's what Matthew Henry said about this text. He said, there are many that do not know when they are well off, but are uneasy with their present condition and given to change. And that's what that verse is about. Somebody who is casual about changing where they dwell, changing how they were reared, changing the nest they were brought up in, and to think that they don't need that nest and all that it represents, that they would be better off to wander around to aimlessly and casually and carelessly live out their life as a wandering soul. Solomon is saying that is a very dangerous place and way to live your life. And when we meld these two verses together, the privilege to have a nest in the house of God, to be reared there, to be brought up there, and then to wander from that, I want to say tonight, and we'll see it throughout the message, but that is a very dangerous place for you to get. I understand Independent Fundamental Baptists ain't the only ones that are saved. I understand Independent Fundamental Baptists don't have everything right. I understand Independent Fundamental Baptists that they're not the only ones that love God and are interested in living for God. But I do know this, that is where God has placed everyone here tonight, and that ought to be viewed as a privilege. That ought to be viewed as something that is precious and valuable and something that is needful in our life, unless we arrive to the place that Matthew Henry said, we become uneasy with our present condition and began to give ourselves to change. Amen. And so many are doing that tonight because they see the hypocrites, because they seen something that upset them, because they were done wrong around the house of God. And it's sad when all those things are seen or experienced, and all of us are going to see that, and all of us, if you live around the Independent Fundamental Baptist Church altars long enough, you're going to experience that. But my friend, we ought not be so given to change where we, as the old timers would say, throw the baby out with the bathwater. Amen. And there are men and there are women, there are entire churches that one time stood on the fundamentals of the Word of God and was given a nest and reared up, that tonight they have abandoned the nest and they're still religious and they're still going through church motions, but they have wandered from that they were raised to know. Amen. Now you can say, well, they, some things need changing. Well, there's a difference in saying some things need changing and then wandering and abandoning everything that has been taught and been given. Amen. How we doing?
Amen. He said, Brother Matthew Henry, I've got a lot I'll give him tomorrow. Let me give you some more. He said about this, these that are as the wandering bird from her nest, he said they affect unsettledness. They love to wander. They are glad of a pretense to go around, or rather to go abroad, and do not care for staying long at a place. In other words, the idea is it's nothing to them. They reach a place where the nest that has sheltered them and the nest that has kept them safe and the nest that has brought them to survive thus far, that they're so quick to abandon that and forsake that as though it were nothing. And may I say tonight, that is a dangerous spiritual atmosphere to allow your heart to get in, where you began to love to wander and you began to love to look towards something else, and you began to try to find the things that have been in your life because of your upbringing and because of what you've been given, that you would try to find that maybe in a carnal place or a worldly place or in some other relationship outside of the Lord and His Word and His house, and to begin to allow your wandering eye to bring about a wandering path, a wandering wing, a wandering direction to your life. This is a very, very serious matter. Many are doing it today, and they do it without any consideration of really what they're doing. Amen. Let me give you some things tonight about this relationship of a bird to its nest and this matter of staying in the nest, particularly as it relates to that bird that has built its house, its nest in the house of God. And let's just consider some things about these verses tonight. Number one, I would draw your attention some thoughts about the work on the nest. The work on the nest. You gotta keep in mind that a bird does not stumble upon a nest. There's not nests that are out there that they can just stumble in. There is a labor we talk about when we think about a bird. A bird in preparation of its nest, what do we say? We say a bird built a nest. There was a labor that was involved. And may I say tonight, when it comes to our upbringing, when it comes to maybe not even your upbringing, but where you are tonight, can I say there's been a lot of labor around Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. There's been a lot of work poured in through the years in churches like this caliber that, again, they're not perfect, but there have been people that have labored and told and built something that, hey man, you and I could enjoy to be able to rest our life in. Amen. I think about this matter, my study of a bird building in this. I think about tonight the time in building, the time that goes in to building a nest. I learned in my study, Brother Tim, of a bird building a nest. At some nests now, not all nests, but some nests take up to 3 weeks to build and working 14 to 17 hours per day. Man, that's a lot of time to go into building a nest. And not every nest takes 3 weeks, but I think I read, if I remember right, somewhere said that at most nests by the birds that we're talking about, that anywhere from 3 or 4 days to up to a week, and that the male and the female, they will literally take turns 24 hours at a time, and one will go out and collect and grab the materials that have been used, the twigs and the grass, and those matters that have been brought back in while the other guards, when it's already been built, But my point is simply this. There's been a lot of time that has been poured in, a lot of labor in the measure of time that has gone in to be able to build for you and I what we're enjoying tonight. And may I say tonight, that ought not be taken lightly. Amen. The time in prayer, and the time in study, and the time in laboring, and the time put into worship, and the time that goes into being able to be discipled and instructed in the ways in which we are to go. That man, friend, when we think about staying in the nest, we must remember the word that has gone into that nest. Somebody's put a lot of time into that. Amen. I think about our subject for tomorrow, about growing up in church. I didn't get saved till I was 17, but the first 17 years of my life, I was brought to church. I was made to go to church. My life was wrapped up in the church. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Mission revivals and revivals and camp meetings and jubilees and watch night services and fellowships and chitlin fries and everything going on at the house of God for 17 years of my life. If it was going on in church, I was brought there. That's all I knew. And for the time of 17 years, I was carried in that nest. I was laid in that nest. And there were times, especially in my teenage years, I didn't understand why are we putting all this time into this. But you know what I'm thankful for at 44? I'm thankful in the first 17 years. I'm thankful for the labor. I'm thankful for the times. I'm thankful for the services. I'm thankful for the songs that people took time to learn to sing. I'm thankful for the time that preachers took to study and pray and be spirit-filled and to preach to me. Somebody put a lot of time into this thing. Amen. I'm just telling you, at 44 years of age, it means more to me tonight than I can tell you. Amen. The time. This thing did not spring up overnight. There's been a lot of people with their hands in this laboring. Amen. Before you just casually walk out the door and take this for granted and just pop in and out to your own leisure and any old little thing keeps you out of church, you understand there are people that have spent their lives, spent their days, spent their nights so that we can have a place, Brother Mike, to be able to come and rest our soul. Amen. The work on the nest, the time in its building. I thought about this. See if y'all like this. The textiles. Just simply meaning the materials in its building. You see, nests are made from many different materials, but not just any old thing to do. Amen. You don't build a nest a bird knows better than to build a nest out of paper mache. All right? If it's going to build a nest, it understands that there's got to be the right kind of materials brought into this building. And so they bring twigs. I learned that it's primarily twigs and grass are woven together. I thought that was interesting for our study, that literally these textiles, these materials are woven together. And then as it's woven and as they weave this a little at a time, along the way, Brother Bryson, they hold it all together by bringing mud. They'll bring mud and even spider webs, and they'll put all that together and what they've weaved together. And so it is woven, and then it is welded, it is sewn, and then it is strengthened. Why? Because the materials that are used in this nest, they've got to be able to survive what is coming that way. It's got to be able to survive the winds that are going to blow and the rains that are going to fall. It's got to be able to take a little bit of the elements and the environment that is going to come and press in upon it. And that bird knows I've got to have the right kind of materials If this thing is going to last, amen, can I say that? That's why we preach the King James Bible. Amen, it's the perfect material to build, amen, the right kind of nest that we need. And that's why we preach holiness. And it's why we give you the fundamentals of the doctrines. The doctrines of fundamentalism that we can build our life on. That the foundations have been laid. The foundation was laid by Christ. And then it was built upon by the apostles and passed out. And we know what materials we need to build a nest that will refuge our life. Amen. Amen. You can have your liberalism, your contemporary music. That's a foreign, that's foreign material to me. Amen. That's foreign material to me. I understand I'm preaching to the choir mostly tonight, but that's foreign material to me. Amen. Preachers in their tight muscle t-shirts, their schmediums. Come on now. Their schmedium shirts. Amen. Up there and having a little stool and a little sit down fireside chat. Can I say that's foreign material? Amen. That ain't the nest. That's not what I've brought up around. Amen. There's nothing in that. I've watched it. I've looked into it. I've seen it from afar. I've seen it even up close. And I'm telling you tonight that there's nothing about that is in line with the nest that I've been raised to live in. Amen. And they just throw it off like it's no big deal. They throw it off, Brother Larry, like the old timers were wrong and that the old timers had it all upside down. And if they would have just been a little more relevant, maybe they could have done a little bit more. No. They understood that then there was ought to be holiness in our worship. And then we ought to keep carnality and a moving of our flesh and entertainment on the outside. Leave that in the world where it belongs. And they provided a place for us with the right kind of materials to have a nest that would survive the test of time. Amen. A lot of things you know we could get on there. Amen. The come as you are. Amen. That mentality, that's foreign to the nest that I was brought up in. Amen. Now, if you don't know no better, that's one thing. But we've been raised to know better. So I just don't see nothing wrong with it. Yeah, you're that bird getting ready to wander. Amen. I was there, Brother Larry. I was there. I remember them days. I don't get all this. I don't understand all the big deal. But when God saved me and I began to get my nose in the book, all of a sudden I began to realize the materials are absolutely important. The tenacity in their building of this mess. Birds, as they're building their nests, you can study this out, but you'll find that they face many kinds of setbacks as they're building the nest. But what do? They just keep building. They just keep on building. They know the importance of having the right kind of nest. And so if the rains fall and the winds blow, they just keep on building. They don't give up. You know what I'm thankful for tonight? Hey, man, there's some old-timers around here. There's some heroes that are still around. I think of even Doc Wells. He'll be here preaching on Sunday. Hey, Doc and Sister Wells, Preacher and Sister Rains, Joe and Priscilla Brad. Brother Bearden and his ministry and these old-timers. Listen, I ain't talking about compromisers. I ain't talking about men that were fickle. I'm not talking about men that only got up and preached when it was convenient. Men with tenacity and men with holiness in their soul and fire in their bosom. They didn't let deacons push them around. They didn't let the winds of compromise affect them. They just kept on thundering forth. They kept on building a work for God. Amen. Thank God. And if you're going to build a nest and stay in the nest, it's going to take work and there's going to have to be some tenacity about us. Amen. People are so soft in this day. I don't mean to offend us tonight. Amen. Please don't take it as an offense this evening, but I'm just telling you, people are so easily moved to quit, so easily moved to go on down the road. Amen. Amen. So I'm dealing with a pastor friend right now, and he's going through some major things and things that have affected their church and his family, and he's got families leaving his church right now. That when the church and the pastor need somebody with tenacity more than they've ever needed it before, they're just saying, "Well, I'm tired of fighting. I don't want to fight. What they're saying is, we ain't got the tenacity to hang in here and do what needs to be done." And I say, any work for God, it's going to take some tenacity. If you young people are going to live for God and work and have a nest, a personal nest in your life, you're going to have to understand this. It ain't always going to be easy. You're going to have some tenacity. Man, I'm taking way too long. I got to quit. I don't know how I'm going to do this in 45 minutes tomorrow. Amen. I like this point. I like this, Brother Charlie. Notice the teaching in the building of this nest. I found something real interesting, Brother Jesse. This will bless you. That there is something, as they have observed birds there. Though birds do have some instinctive characteristics about nest, a need for a nest. They know they need a nest. In fact, their eggs are laid in a nest. They're hatched in a nest. They're fed in a nest. They're raised to fledglings all in a nest. And so there is something about a bird that even in its breaking forth from its shell, that is instinctive inside of that bird, that it knows that it needs a nest. Here's what they have observed, Brother Jack. They say that birds draw from not only the instincts that they have, but they are taught from even their birth, and even as they grow into fledglings and develop their own ability to fly through their own observation, how to build a sustainable nest for themselves. How do they learn that? They learn it from Daddy Bird and Mama Bird. Daddy Bird and Mama Bird show them the importance of a nest. Can I say tonight, there is something in every life that has been born that knows it needs some sort of shelter to make it through this thing called life. If you're born in a Christian family, you don't realize maybe how blessed you are, amen, to have a daddy bird and a mama bird, amen, to raise you with, amen, having put in the time, having put in the right textile, having put in the tenacity, amen, and now they're training you or have trained you on how to build for yourself your own sustainable nest that will help you make it as you grow old. Amen. I don't want to be offensive, but amen, you're a dumb bird if you don't look and observe into the life, amen, of your saved mom and daddy trying to be Christians. You say, "I ain't perfect." Yeah, and you ain't either. All right? I ain't talking about following them because they're perfect. I'm talking about following them because there's a sincerity in their heart to be a real true Christian. And then find you some elders in the church that ain't hypocrites, that you know are right and real, and learn from them and observe their life, how they build a nest around their life. You begin to learn from them and implement those same things. Amen. So how have you made it in the ministry all these years? How have you made it being saved 27 years? How have you made it? Because Amen. Not because I was smart, but I was smart enough to draw from and observe from others that had gone before me. I watch them work on their nest. I watch how they live their life. I saw and I observed how it sustained them even in the darkest times of their life. And I thought, if it works for them, I don't want to abandon what God has let me see in them. Amen. I'd be a fool not to learn from somebody else. Amen. Amen. I think it's a crying out shame. Amen. I'll just call names. They don't know who I am, no way. Y'all go post it and tell them I said so. But these recovering fundamentalists, the way they run down their mamas and their daddies, I think is a sin against honor thy father and thy mother. It is a sin against the law of God. Amen. And maybe some of them got some good gripes and whatever. I sure wouldn't get on the internet and talk about my mom and daddy and the way they raised me. Amen. A lot of them's thrown off everything that has to do with holiness and standards and godly living. Was raised, as raised, not to drink liquor. Now they get on and they justify it. Amen. Amen. I got Bible for that crowd. Amen. Amen. We know drinking's wrong. Somebody say amen. Amen. Wine bibbers. That's what they are. They're wine bibbers. Amen. They'll say, well, you know the Bible, and they try to explain away all the things, and we could argue all that all day long. But even if they are right, I still got Bible that condemns them drinking. God told Jeremiah, said, go down, get them sons of the Rechabites. Said, you get them, bring them down here to the house of God, set wine before them, tell them to drink. Amen. Tell them to drink. Jeremiah went and done it, and God is going to paint a picture. He set them down, and he said, now, here's this wine, y'all drink it. I'm talking about the prophet Jeremiah is telling them it's okay. Jeremiah is saying, God told me to bring y'all down here and to tell you that it's all right for you to drink this today. They said, oh, no, we won't. No, we won't. Jeremiah said, why won't you drink? And they said, because their daddy told us to leave it alone. Because daddy raised us in a nest where that was wrong. Daddy taught us and we're to avoid that and abstain from that. And we don't, Jeremiah, we know you're God's man. And our daddy told us not to do that. And we love you, but we are not going against our raising. Amen. I feel good. Amen. Let's put that in a short. Y'all post that. Amen. I don't know how to do all that. I may even be saying it wrong, Brother Tim, but it'd be worth that crowd hearing it. God bragged on them sons. God, in fact, God said, this is what I'm looking for in Israel. I'm looking for those that will be faithful to their fathers and in the way of holiness they were raised. And they're not looking for a loophole. They're not looking for a way out of the nest and the wonder truth. Amen. Those things that their daddy labored to instill in their life. Amen. I know it's Wednesday. I'm going to tear that motel up tomorrow. Amen. That ballroom or whatever conference room we meeting in, I'm going to rip it to shreds. I can feel it. Amen. Talk about the teaching in this building of the nest. What are you doing with what you've been given? I just think you're stupid. I'm going to tell you something. You better not be that casual about it. You don't have to understand everything. Amen. There's a lot of things you may get liberty about down the road and in your life. And personal ways God works in your life. But I promise you unto God, God ain't in you thinking and calling and having an attitude that you're superior and that you think mom and dad's stupid.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. I ain't ever been to a movie theater in my life. Not one time. You say you didn't even go see The Passion of the Christ? Amen. No. Well, number one, why would I want to go watch that? I got the Word of God. Amen. My daddy raised me. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I can't take you to the Bible and show you where going to movie theaters is wrong. If you go, that's your business. I can't take you the Word of God and show you where it says black and white, thou shalt not go to Cinema 5. But my daddy told me, we don't do that. And I don't feel like I've missed out on one thing. Everybody look here, and daddy, if you watch this, I'm not trying to embarrass you, but my daddy, after raising me that way, went to go watch a certain movie at the movie house. You say, oh, well, then you're off the hook. No, I ain't. No, I ain't. I don't care if daddy changes. There's a way I was raised. The way I was raised brought me in the faith, brought me to Christ, got me called to preach, got me serious about living for God. I'm not condemning you now. Don't get mad at me. I'm not saying you can't go. I'm telling you that's the way I was raised and I was taught and I was brought up, and that means something to me.
Amen.
Yeah, man. It means something to me. Say, but there ain't a chapter and verse. They don't have to be a chapter and verse. I'm talking about the nest that I was taught of building my life. It means something to me. Too much work has gone in. Too much work has gone in. Are you listening? There's been too much work by others there. There's been too much labor now in this point in my life for me to wander from the nest, to abandon what I know and what has worked and what has kept me safe. There's too much labor gone into it already. This crowd that takes it so light and it ain't no big deal. Amen. And then, oh boy, I'm going to get in trouble now. And then go like they did when I was growing up to me. Tell me, well, your daddy, he's just a little too hard. Just like they've gone to my kids and tried to sway them from different things about their raising. Everybody look up here. That's wicked as hell itself. Amen. My youngins, it ain't no secret. My youngins don't live everything I preach, and I'm praying for them. Maybe I'm preaching to them tonight. I ain't trying to upset nobody. I'm preaching what God put in my heart. But Tim, I got people who won't even talk to me that are gloating in different decisions my children have made to walk away from the way they were raised. Amen. If I didn't agree with the preacher, I wouldn't gloat over his children turning on the way he raised them. Amen. Everybody listening? Boy, we done got real good and personal, ain't we? I want my youngins to know daddy ain't changed. The nest is the nest. It's what I was given. It's what I have to offer. You ain't got to live in it, but you do need to understand there's been a lot of work poured in to having this kind of a life. Amen. Y'all reckon this will work tomorrow? Number two, the wandering from the nest. I'm going to have to do this in parts for y'all. Amen. The wandering from the nest, the work on the nest. The verse here speaks of the bird that wandereth from the nest. Here's what the word wandereth means. It means what you think it would, but let's just define it. It means to wave to and fro. To flap up and down. To rove or to flee. To turn from or away. It means to take flight. Really, Solomon here is speaking of abandonment of the nest of refuge and familiarity. Amen. The flapping up and down, instability, roving wondrously. I've got this broke down in several points about the wandering from the nest. And keep in mind, we're very focused on that. That one that built its nest in the house of God, near the altar of the Lord. There it's viewing all that is going on. That bird would maybe wander from that place. I believe tonight there is in this verse, we could say, the pointlessness in the wandering. I know it's Wednesday. Y'all know most Wednesday I try and keep it upbeat, rah, rah, hallelujah, it's good to be saved. This is just where we're at. But there is a pointlessness in this wandering. The word wandereth, as Solomon uses it here, it conveys and implies the idea of being aimless in one's direction. Just here, let me try this. There, let me try that. Let me run with this crowd. Let me run with that crowd. Let me involve myself in this and in that. And there is no pointed direction to their life. Can I say tonight, in the life in which we have been instructed, in the life in which myself and many of you tonight have been reared or been in a long, long time, it comes with purpose. It comes with a direction. It comes with Christ as the goal in mind. Amen. I don't want to leave all of this for an aimless direction. Amen. I'm just wandering and wandering and wandering, and I'm up and I'm down and I'm in and I'm out. And nobody knows how to deal with me, because there is a pointlessness to my life. When you lose your purpose and you lose sight of what being a Christian's all about, you have reached a very, very dangerous place in your life where you began to wander. When you wander, you'll go to this and try to be satisfied. You'll go to that to try to survive. And all it'll do, you listen to what the preacher's saying tonight, all it'll do is make you miserable. Amen. The peril of the wandering. I think the idea here that Solomon is giving, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. What is that bringing? It's bringing danger. There's peril outside of the nest. Amen. Say, what kind of peril? Can I say tonight, the fowler, the bird catcher. You know where he catches? You know where he catches the birds? Catches them outside their nest. Outside of the normal boundaries they've been given. The snare of the fowler is something that is talked about in the Word of God, that there are fowlers that are looking to ensnare, looking to trap, looking to bind and captivate our life. And may I say tonight, Satan is a fowler. He is a dangerous fowler. He'll bring peril to your life if you ever forsake the nest and forsake truth and forsake those fundamental things about what you're instructed to do and be and live. There's a devil out there that'll lay the snare, pull the string as soon as you step in it. Then he's got you. was reading today, Brother Mike, and I've got to quit. I don't have time to preach all this, but are we okay? Is this making any sense? I read today, Jesse, where them fowlers, when they would capture those birds, they would take them and they would sew their eyes shut so the bird couldn't see and he wouldn't be able to flee. What was he doing? He was taking away his vision, because if he could take away his vision, the bird could not fly back, could not find its way back to the nest, back to safety, back to shelter. The bird would have its eyes shut and not know the way back home. That fowler, when he would catch them, there would be times he would catch them for meat on the table and destroy them. There are other times he would carry them down to the market and in captivity sell them. There were times the fowler, the birds that he would ensnare that had gotten out of the nest and into the trap, he would take them, he would cage them, and he would use those birds to draw out other birds from the nest to capture more. Few people wander from the nest and wind up in the hands of the fowler that don't bring others with them. Boy, if I had time, I could preach there. What is the primer, the cause for the wandering? Well, what would make a bird leave its nest? I wrote down a few things. What about attractors? Something shiny down there on the forest floor. Something that caught their eye, that they just got to go down there and check it out. And I say this world's got a lot of attractors. A lot of things that flash and shine and glitter. And I'm going to tell you what, you better not leave the nest for what shines in this world. Communicators. What about other birds that have wandered from the nest, calling back to the others, come and join me? Amen. Daddies who communicate to sons. Mamas who communicate to daughters. It ain't that bad. That preacher, he's just an old fuddy-duddy. Siblings. Come join me in my wandering. Let me tell you something. Best place for you to stay spiritually. I'm not talking about staying under mom and daddy's roof all the days of your life. That ain't what I'm preaching. I'm talking about your spiritual atmosphere of your life. You better say, I am not getting out of the nest. Amen. Maybe they're birds where they were friends with. Them wandered, Brother Larry, out the, and they're a half mile down from the nest, and they're calling out back to them other ones in the nest. Come on down here, bud. We're having a wonderful time. Amen. I thought about this. What about the imitators? See, the fowler, he knows how to make certain calls, imitations. Sam, and I guess myself, Sam and Mary, they like to do that turkey hunting. You know what you do when you turkey hunt? You're hunting birds. You put that little call in your mouth, or a box call, or a slate call, or a bone call, and they got all different kinds of different ways they make calls and different sounds. And what are they doing? They're fooling that turkey out on the other side of the field, drawing him in. Let me tell you something, that fowler, he knows, and you got to, that's why you got to be in tune to God. You got to know what the real voice of God sounds like, because there are spirits and there are voices and there are imitators that will try to draw you out of the nest that you've been surrounded by and has been built for the safety of your life. It's good preaching, Pastor. Amen. The wandering. I wanted to end on, it would have been the good part, but the wealth or the worth of the nest. After all the work and then the maybe the temptation to wander, what would cause us to stay in the nest? What would keep a bird and a man in his place and a bird in its nest? It's when you realize the value of what is in and around that nest. When you realize the value of that nest. Why? And the implication is that that mama bird is forsaking her young. That young is valuable. That young in the nest is her future. And I say tonight, you have a valuable future. One of the things you better consider before you wander from your raising, young people, church members, before you wander from the instruction, from teachers and your pastor and other preachers that stand behind this sacred desk and deliver to you and communicate to you fundamental truths for living a Christian life. Before you wander off from that, you better consider the value of all of that in your life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Them sons of Korah, that's what kept them right even when their daddy got crossways. They realized the value of the call of God upon their life. And when Korah said, I'm not standing with Moses, I'm not standing with God, I'm not doing my life the way the Word of God and the law of God has instructed me to do it. There was three sons of Korah who said, Daddy, now we love you. You gave us this nest. You may jump out of it. We ain't going nowhere. Years later, David's able to sit down and pen Psalm 84 and deliver that to those men who are porters and doorkeepers and praisers and even soldiers in the army of David fighting for a cause. What do they owe all that to? To somebody years before them who knew the value of just staying in the nest. Amen. Amen. Well, I've got to quit. That makes sense. I'm done there. I've gone too long. I've kept you too long. How many of y'all know I won't get all that said tomorrow? There's no way. There's no way. Amen. Y'all been good to preach to tonight. Thank you. Hey, I want everybody to look at me before we go, and I'm not apologizing at all for what I preach, but I want you to know I ain't against nobody. You can live your life the way you live. I preach some things tonight I know some of y'all don't live. I could have said a whole lot more things I know some of y'all don't live. Amen. So don't get mad at me. I'm not mad at you. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you there's a nest that traditionally has worked for the church for many, many years.
Amen.
I think we're crazy.
Amen.
To explain it away.
Amen.
As if it really don't matter.
Yes, sir.
Because it does.
Amen.
It's what I preach to you tonight.